For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
So you guys tell me, if you haven't heard all of it, we're going to present it to you in order of anger. Aaron Boone last night, after the Yankees lost to the Mets, got swept by the Mets, have continued this malaise they have been in for a long time now. The Yankees are 11-23 in their last 34 games. Aaron Boone met the media and deviated from his normal shtick. He started to get angry. And what I found fascinating about it, Tiki, is that you can see it build like a good wrestling angle. And you can slowly see Aaron getting agitated and agitated. So we'll play it for you and we can analyze.
Does that mean it's genuine?
You tell me.
All right.
I think you, as someone who has spoken to the media many, many times, I'm sure the media members tried to get under your skin many, many times. You could help evaluate this. So here's clip number one, the first sign that Aaron Boone is a little angry, because he starts using a word that Aaron will only use when he's angry. And the word I'm talking about is frickin'.
Nobody has higher expectations than us in that frickin' room. And we understand that, you know, we're pissed off. We got to play better. You know, this has gone on long enough. And, you know, it's very frustrating to go through. But I also know we're competing our asses off. And we just got to make sure we continue to walk in with the right level of edge and willingness to compete, because no one's going to pull us out of this but us.
So I think the Yankee fan hears that and they're like, not enough, Aaron. Give me a little bit. Give me a frickin'. Right. Give me an ass.
But at least he was agitated.
He was agitated.
At least he was emotional for the first time all season long.
Yeah. Got a little motive, a little action out of him. But then it started to build.
Mm-mm.
And you could hear it build because of the questions that were being asked. So here's build number two of Aaron Boone getting a little bit angry.
For weeks now, you and the players have been saying that this was just a poor stretch and you will eventually get out of it.
Still a poor stretch.
What would you say to the fans, though, who may not believe the messaging that you will get out of this?
You know, nothing I can say matters. We got to do it. So I'm confident we will. I know we will pull out of this. But that's all it is right now, is me saying it to you. So
you see, is it building up a little bit?
Yeah.
Didn't like the question?
That one was a little bit less emotional, but it was like, you could hear the agitation.
You could hear it building.
Yeah.
It's like a chemistry project.
Yes.
You could hear like the bubbling occurring.
Because he repeated the question.
That's right. Then we get to the question that caused Aaron Boone to pop.
Going back to June 7th, you guys have a record that is on par with some of the worst teams in the league, the White Sox, Rockies, etc. At what point is it not a poor stretch?
I don't, I'm not defining. We got to play better. Okay? We have it right in front of us. We're a really good team that has played. We need to be better. I'm not going to define stretch this or that. We got to go win, right? And we're right there. You know, we're watching, you know, other teams struggle around us. We know we got to be better. Okay? We got to, you know, we're pissed off in there. We got a lot of pride in there. We have a lot of expectation in there. So, stretch, slump, we got to play better the rest of the way. And it's right there. I've said it's right in front of us. It is. It's right in front of us, right? For as bad as it's been, we're also in a great position. And we got to go play. We got to go play the baseball the way we're capable of playing. And it's on all of us, starting with me in that room, to make sure we're coming out with the right level of energy and getting after it.
like how he calmed himself down towards the end of the answer.
But thank you, Aaron. Thank you for getting mad.
You like that?
Of course
that
I do.
That makes you feel good?
Because it's how can you not actually feel that way? And so if you actually feel that way, who cares if you say it? Right? Who cares if you express some emotion? Because trust me, that's what the fans feel.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you mirror, not mirror, because you don't want to always mirror the irrationality of fans, but when you acknowledge, it's like the guy, who was the guy who was putting out with the on social media?
Oh, the AI guy?
The AI guy.
I forget that guy's name.
Like, when you hear that, you, in your mind, you're like, man, I wish he would just say it like
that. Yeah, he was creating fake AIs of Aaron Boone just ripping all his players.
Right, and so... No, he's not going to go that far, but at least be emotional about it and be upset that you're what, 10 and 22 of your last 30-something games?
What bothered him? It seems like the part of the question that bothered him was the stretch versus...
No. It's the facts. It's the facts.
Oh, the facts bother him?
The facts were bothering him because whoever asked those questions, like, they're detailing, like... All right, this team sucks, and you guys are kind of like them. with this bad stretch, I mean, how long is it not a bad stretch? And basically without saying, because he didn't say this, but he implied it, you guys just suck. It's not a bad stretch. You just stink.
Right.
Right? So I think the reality, like the realness of the questions got to him a little bit.
Did that make you happier as an angry Yankee fan, Sean?
Not happier. I'm happy that he showed a pulse and exhibited the anger that we were feeling as a fan base. But here's the problem. I don't want to not like it, but at the same time, it feels like a little too late. We've been yelling about this for a month. And to his point, I'm not going to define stretch. It's almost 2 months now. Like, we went from 4 weeks, 6 weeks. We've gotten to that point where it's almost 2 months
now. What should he have said?
Guys, we've sucked for the better part of 2 weeks, 2 months. We are what our record says we are right now until further notice. And it's on me as the manager to get the most out of these guys. And right now, I'm not. So I'm going to go in there and we're going to figure out a way to right this ship. It is still right in front of us, but that's just word salad until I figure this out.
I like what Aaron did. I like his anger. The problem is, and this is my fault, I listened to the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with listening to the entire thing is I could just call it a day now and say, there you go, Aaron Boone's angry. Let's get back to your calls. But I can't do that. I can't lie to you. I can't be dishonest. There needs to be another clip. There needs to be one more thing Aaron said that bothered me a little bit and may bother you as Yankee fans. It may, or maybe you're going to love it. Aaron Boone, in last night's horrific loss to the New York Mets, wanted to find a positive, wanted to find a silver lining. And I guess I respect that. Like, you're always looking for a positive. You're looking for something. Now, you may ask yourself, all right, well, what the hell is the silver lining from yesterday? I mean, the only thing I could think of is Gleyber Torres, right? Home runs in back-to-back games. Okay. Maybe you think that. Instead, Aaron Boone found another positive. And for Yankee fans, you may not like this, but it's up for you to decide. Here's Aaron Boone finding a positive from last night's embarrassing loss to the New York Mets.
Even one of the things I really liked tonight about is how hooked up we were in that dugout in the eighth and ninth inning when it wasn't going well. And the level of at-bats and not giving in even in the end. And the guys on the top step, like, pulling for one of another as they take a tough pitch or put a good swing on a ball. You know, I was pleased to see that. Like, you know, we're hooked up. We want to make it happen. We're all frustrated, but I'm not worried about the compete level with these guys.
What do you think of that? Is that a positive?
Mean, yeah, I guess it is.
They're watching the game. Yay!
Yeah, but you're not cashing it in. I get it, but I don't know. That one doesn't move me that much.
Does that move you, Sean? Does that make you feel better about
Gleyber
last night?
Leading off moved me a little.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
No, it does, none of this makes me feel better. And honestly, man, the more I hear that, it's just excuse. Dude, this is what it comes down to. You can't start the day with the press conference clip we played yesterday with J.D. Davis, then afterwards put up the fake theatrics like he did, and then bring up that. This whole thing is a colossal mess, and it just feels like Aaron Boone wants to have the right answers, doesn't have the right answer, and he doesn't know where to match temperament. I'll go you one further, too, on all those clips you just played. It shows also he's paying attention to everything everybody's saying about him and paying attention to what's going on. I don't want to acknowledge that everybody else around you is playing bad. By the way, Orioles just won a baseball game. I don't want to hear, everything. He's paying attention to too much outside noise. Write your own shit.
What did you say?
Yeah.
Did you guys listen to this?
The Orioles won.
But the Orioles won. He mentioned in
the... Why did you throw that in there? That confused me.
It did, well, because that was that, a...
But what's your point? But what's
the
your point?
The point was... Hey, the teams around us are struggling when he played that first clip and then comes back. He's trying to find the positives, but he's using, on top of those guys in the dugout, and he's using in the previous clip, all the negatives of the stuff going on around him. Don't worry about what's going on around you. Worry about what's internal.
I think Aaron Boone is in a very tricky spot. And there are moments where I criticize him. Like yesterday, there were some moves that he made that I disagreed with. But overall, when you look at the New York Yankees, it is so easy to blame the manager because that's what we do. But the reality is, Gerrit Cole stunk last night.
Yeah, the team's not good enough.
The team is not good enough. It's not playing well enough. Their offense turned out to be prophetic, what Luis Severino said. And luckily, it was backed up over these two games. They are two hitters. Like, they play horrible defense. Their bullpen's not great. Their starting pitching's not great. And so Aaron Boone is the face of this. He's the White House press secretary. And sometimes we get angry at the White House press secretary when the truth is you should be angry at the president.
Yes.
Don't
get mad at the communicator.
So I think that's a big part of it. But I do have one critique of Aaron Boone. I don't think that he says it's right in front of us enough. Like, I've heard him say it. I think he said it in the press conference. But I almost feel like Aaron Boone needs to remind us what I've reminded you. Hey, there are only two games out. Orioles did win today. Everything is right in front of us.
You know, it's all right there in front of us. The great thing is, it's right in front of us. We have it right in front of us. It's right in front of us, right?
But it is right in front of us.
But, you know, it's all right there in front of us. The silver lining in it all is it is in front of us. It's all right there in front of us.
Good job by @Brooksgate that put together that little feature. But yes, it's right in front of us.
That's his cliche du jour.
Would people buy a t-shirt with the Yankee logo that says, it's right in front of us?
Maybe you would.
I think it's a great phrase. You know what's so funny about it? I know it frustrates you. He's right.
Of course he's right.
No, but
I mean, the Yankees are still, 16 games over .500?
Yeah.
Right, they're still in the strongly in the wild card.
It's right in front of us.
It's a long ass season.
It's all right there in front of them.
It's all right in front of them.
But you don't want to hear it. I think what you want to hear is how we're going to be better, and what do we need to be better, and who can I call out to make them to make them get better. And he just doesn't do that enough. Mm. Now he did it yesterday. Obviously, not directly calling out anyone, but at least he was pissed off a little bit.
Yes,
just show some emotion. Show that you care. Not that it's going to be all right. Hey, everything's going to be all right. No, it's not. Everything's going to be all right. No, it's not.
But here's the problem. He's going to say it's right in front of us. Everything, you know, we need this, that, and the other thing. And what's going to happen tomorrow night when the Yankees play the Red Sox? DJ LeMahieu is going to be right back in that lineup. They're going to run out. And I understand they don't have a lot of answers.
Well, that's the problem, is that there's no answers what the issue is.
I followed and have loved this Yankee team long enough. And this isn't a, whoa, if George was alive. I'm just talking about the Yankees as I know them under Brian Cashman. There were years where they struggled, where they looked down and said, it's time for Robinson Cano and Chin Ming Wong. It's times like last year where they were dead in the water and they called up Dominguez. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it. Find room on the 40-man. Give me 2 weeks of Spencer Jones and see if you get lightning in
the
bottle.
It's not really him. I think it's the kid they brought up last week.
Yorbert Vivas?
Yorbert Vivas, who should come up and play a little bit.
No, but have you seen what's happened to him since?
What's happened to him
since? They called him up. They didn't even give him a single major league at-bat.
No, he never played. He was only here for 2 days while J.D. Davis was on the IL.
Right, then the All-Star break hit, so he missed all those minor league at-bats, and now he's 1-for-24 since returning to AAA.
Yeah, but I think a part of that sometimes is the frustration as a young player of, I'm in the major leagues, here's my opportunity, oh wait, not really. So I wouldn't look too closely at the 1-for-24.
Yeah.
But to answer your point about sparking the team the way they did with Robbie Cano and Chin Ming Wong back in 2005, that's the kind of thing you can do along with a trade or two.
Because right now, you know, you complain about DJ LeMahieu, I hear a lot of people complain about it. Like, they don't have a lot of other great options.
Okay, and I'll go one step further. We keep talking about the trade deadline, and I'm excited for it. I hope the Yankees do something. But you also don't have to wait till the deadline at 6 o'clock to make a deal.
Yeah.
And for a perfect example of this, the Yankees ended up trading for Frankie Montas. Why? Because the Mariners got ahead of it and traded for Luis Castillo a week earlier.
Sean, you're assuming they're not trying to make a trade right now?
Yeah.
Look, here's my criticism of the Yankees at the trade deadline. The idea, and I hope it's not true. I hope it's bad reporting. The idea that they're not interested in Jazz Chisholm because he may be an issue for the locker room. I mean, that's offensive to me.
It's
unless they have something that the Pirates don't have and basically every other team has. Because Jazz Chisholm, in a lot of ways, is everything they need.
Of course.
And by the way, you can't assume that Cash is not doing something.
I'm not saying he's not doing something, but the Yankees cannot keep rolling out the same lineup this weekend versus the Boston freaking Red Sox. If it's calling somebody up or making a trade, something has to be done before 7 p.m. the morning starts.
It's a balance that they're not doing a good job of right now.
Yes.
Let's go to Jason in Great Neck. What's up, Jason?
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure. That excerpt that you just played from Aaron Boone is exactly the problem with the New York Yankees. When the manager is the only man on this team to show any kind of fire, any kind of emotion, you know you're in trouble. That dude, Siri, from the Tampa Bay Rays hit a home run the other day and Cadillac around the whole bases, okay? And what does Aaron Judge do? He stares him down for 3 seconds. Are you kidding me? If this was the 98 Yankees, Dallas Strawberry would have knocked that dude out.
But Jason, I understand your point. I understand you want a little bit of blood. You want a little bit of action. You want a little bit of toughness.
It's not happening in 2024.
It's not only not happening, even if it did happen, does it fix what's wrong with them right now? Does it fix DJ LeMahieu not performing? Does it fix Alex Verdugo going through a massive slump? Does it fix their issues? So, like, I get it. That would be entertaining. I understand there were Yankee fans that felt that way when Jose Siri was Cadillacing the other day. But ultimately, is that really what's wrong with the Yankees? Is it their toughness, or is it that they're not performing?
It's that. It's the latter.
They're not performing.
And they're not performing for a couple of reasons. One, some of these guys just aren't good enough. Right, DJ Stewart. Some of these
DJ
guys.
LeMahieu.
I mean, DJ LeMahieu.
They can have DJ Stewart of their own.
JD Davis. I'm thinking of the Mets guy. JD Davis. Right. And then some guys are hurt. So it's underperformance and injury.
Yes.
And there's no answer for either one of those.
Well, the answer is
unless you go make some moves, or you bring up someone who's not ready.
Or the answer is, and I know this is the tough one, play better.
Yeah,
like you want to make a T-shirt, play better.
But I mean, some of these guys just aren't good enough.
Alex Verdugo is not this bad. He's not. Are you convinced DJ LeMahieu is washed up? Have you come to that conclusion?
I know a lot of people have.
I'm not there yet.
I think he hit an age moment. And whether it was the injury not allowing him to prepare like he needs to be great, La Machine, he doesn't have that anymore. He just doesn't. Like, you don't see the pop in his bat. Like, you just don't see the things that you used to see.
The thing with LeMahieu was, it's the joke. He could roll out of bed and get a hit. That's what's alarming about it. He's not the kind of guy where it's just a prolonged slump.
Yeah, it shouldn't just go away.
Right.
I believe that he is going to be the bat replaced in the next 5 days. Because I do believe Brian Cashman is going to add a bat. I believe it's going to be an infielder. I believe it's going to be a guy capable of playing third base or second base.
Right.
And look, Gleyber Torres is starting to heat up. I know he drives a lot of you guys nuts. And I don't think they're going to trade him before the deadline, but I think the days of running DJ out every day are going to be over in the next 5 days because Brian Cashman's making a trade. Now, who's he adding? Is it any of the guys I mentioned yesterday? Probably. I feel pretty good about my list. I think it's going to be Luis Renjifo. That's my ultimate guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you okay with that?
And I like that.
Thank you.
He's had a good year.
I'm good with it. And right now, the reports online, who the Yankees are interested in right now, 44-year-old pitcher Rich Hill. So that should get everybody excited.
First of all,
where does that even come from?
That is, hey, let's sign pitching depth for nothing. That's not related to the fact that Brian Cashman is going to add a bat before July 30th.
I understand that.
Would you like to make a show bet that he is going to add a bat before July 30th?
But what caliber of bat? That's the question.
A guy who's going to play third base a lot. A guy who's going to be in the lineup on a consistent basis.
I agree he will do that, but I'm sorry, until proven otherwise, right now, Brian Cashman, these past couple trade deadlines, it feels like it will be more underwhelming than something that excites
us. Well, first of all, you can't compare it to last year's trade deadline. The Yankees weren't any good last year. Don't you think it's a different situation this year as compared to last year?
Yeah, but how about 2 years ago?
Well, it was 2 years ago, Benintendi, or was that a year earlier?
No, that was Benintendi, who I liked, but overall, that whole deadline provided not a lot of, you know, Bader for Montgomery. I mean, that was the thing. Nothing really sexy stood out.
I understand. They haven't had any ultimate wins, though the Bader for Montgomery move, I guess you could argue, is a win. Tim is in Norwalk. What's up, Tim?
Honestly, the fact that you just said that, I was just going to say it's the same old situation like Motley Crue. Okay, congrats on your Mets. Hey, like I said, I'm a Jets fan, so I give props being the varsity. I'm giving props to the JV. Speaking, I already said you're Don Mattingly of the New York Giants because you never won anything with the Giants, and you're a great running back. And I'm pumped up for football season.
That was a compliment, by the way. You don't think that is a negative?
It's all good.
It may have come out that way, but like,
what, you want me to call me? You want me to call you Dan Marino, or do you want me to call you?
Donnie Baseball works. Whatever. I'll take it.
Yeah, in New York City, I think you're going Don. Yeah, I agree.
All right, so let's get down to the ball. Shout out to my girlfriend, Sasha. She made me filet mignon last night.
Nice.
I'm going to keep my feet up. And I came home from work, and they were down 12-2. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, this is, like, ridiculous. I'm like, but you know what? It's a very weird world we're living in right now. You know, what happened? I'm not going to do, as a bartender, no politics, no religion.
Right. You got to start playing the Wu-Tang Clan. And Timmy, real quickly, when are you wifing this girl? I mean, she cooks for you every night, right? She's there for you.
Oh, my God. Yo, she's going to, soon. Trust me, it's in the works right now.
You just got called a blue collar bartender. But Timmy, you just got called out by future Hall of Famer Tiki Barber. What are you doing? Marry that woman.
Well, I mean, he calls every time and he talks about how she's taking care of him. Yeah. She's waiting for him when he gets home. It's a filet mignon.
Yes.
I mean, what am I missing?
I don't know. Get it done, Tim, or else she's going to leave you. Look, I certainly said this on the Rico when the Mets were struggling. And what I would say is, as a sports fan, you always hold out hope that everything you're watching is just going to change. And it may not be with much logic, it may not be with much facts, but you watch your sports teams hoping that everything you think turns out to be wrong.
Right.
And most of the time, they're not wrong. Most of the time, if you think your team is bad, your team is bad. But then there are those occasional times where out of absolute nowhere, you're proven wrong. The New York Mets had a season like that. They were 11 games under 500. They were buried. They were dead. They were dysfunctional. They were a mess. And everything turned. And it almost feels illogical that it turned. The Yankees sort of had the opposite. They're 49-21. They're 70 games into the season. Mm-hmm. And illogically, everything just turns around. Your hope as a Yankee fan, besides Brian Cashman making aggressive deals in the next 5 days, is that things turn. And you know how I know they can, for anyone who says they're dead, 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 dead? Because 3 months ago, they looked like a juggernaut with the same roster. Yeah. So the idea that it can't turn, of course it can. Now, it's tough to convince you that today, but is it possible? Sure it is.
But it also wasn't the same roster because Giancarlo Stanton was there.
But is Giancarlo not coming back?
Of course he is, but he's not yet. And so this 520 OPS cleanup spot is a massive problem.
It is.
And until they fix at least that, they're not scoring runs.
But can it be
big enough cliff?
But can it be fixed?
I mean, yes.
Of course, yes. The answer is yes.
Look, you're not wrong. But in the short term, meaning until those fixes or solutions come about, you can't help but just feel down on this team. Now, Aaron Boone's stance is absolutely right. And it's probably what he's looking forward to. Like, I'd get these guys back healthy. Right, we start scoring some runs. Our starting pitching holds up. Clay Holmes doesn't blow games. Then we'll win again. But in real time, you don't want to see that. You don't want to hear the excuses. You just want success. And it's just not going to come for this team because they're not good enough against some of these teams that they're playing.
Sean is down in Orlando, Florida. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
What's up? Good. What's up, man?
Not much. I got a couple things if you don't mind. But first, I want to say to be like the trade deadline Bats available is not that much like in like names, like big names.
Right.
So
right.
Me personally, I personally think the best guy with upside to turn the Yankees like around is Jason Dominguez when he comes up.
Yeah. He's just gotta get healthy.
He's going to play games at the end of this, like the weekend, they said, a rehab.
Yes.
And I feel once you show he can play a full nine, they can't hesitate.
No, Sean, you're 1,000% right from this regard. And look, Jason Dominguez has a lot to prove. So let's not put him in the Hall of Fame yet. It was really encouraging what he was doing last year before he got hurt. But we can't just assume he's going to come back and play like an all-star. But I do agree with your opinion on this. I give Jason Dominguez a couple of days. Once he shows he's healthy and ready, I get him up here. And that's why the Yankees can dramatically change. And I'll give you specifics. If Jason Dominguez is back in the Yankee lineup within a week and a half, and he's playing every day, and Giancarlo Stanton is back within a week and a half playing every day, and you add the one bat to the middle infield, I've specifically said Luis Renjifo, you have all of a sudden changed 33% of your lineup.
Yeah.
You have all of a sudden eliminated Alex Verdugo from playing every day, or at least specifically against lefties. You've eliminated DJ LeMahieu having to play every day, or maybe even Ben Rice playing every day. And so that's where things can change quickly. You have two bats on the way in Dominguez and Stanton. And again, I caution, Dominguez has a lot to prove.
I would put more caution to Stanton right now.
Okay, both have their own cautions. Stanton's coming off an injury. Dominguez is still a really young player. But if you had, let's say, a second bat, now you've changed 44% of your lineup.
No doubt. But here's the thing with Stanton that's starting to worry me. Boone went from, he may not need rehab games to, maybe we'll see him next week to now, I doubt we see him in the Red Sox series. Why does this keep getting pushed back further and further the more we're watching him run the bases? And on top of that, every time he's come back from an injury, it's taken him at least a couple weeks before we saw the Stanton swinging like that again. Sorry.
What?
Wrong? I just saw Lou Gehrig doing the YMCA.
I know. He's like making hand motions. Is it because Dylan Cease is flirting with a no-hitter?
Am I the coach here? Can we say that? I'm like the head coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you are. You're a good one, too.
Right? You get the timeout signal? What do you think? I'm asking you on a date? We've been in the segment for 30 minutes. I gave you the timeout
signal. By the way, real quick question, just so I want to know if you guys care and the audience cares, because we are a sports talk show. Do you want updates on Dylan Cease being a few outs away from a no-hitter, or do we not care about this?
Don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't want any more baseball positivity.
Yeah, not really care.
Not really? Okay. I'll stop right there.
No hitter, you said, or perfect game?
No hitter, a few outs away in the ninth inning, but a complete game no hitter, not one of those combined no hitters. You say no. Okay. We'll get back to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And was there something else very, very concerning about the New York Yankees last night in their loss to the Mets? We'll address. I got to tell you something awkward that happened this morning. And I really tried to make it less awkward because I genuinely wasn't embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
But I went to the bathroom, which I do every single morning.
Okay.
And I never locked the door. I just, why do I need to lock the door? I shut the door, I go to the bathroom.
It's your bathroom. Why would you need to lock your bathroom door?
My father-in-law walked in on me while I was in the bathroom.
Nice. Oh.
And, there was a delay almost.
Uh-huh.
I think he couldn't fathom that I was sitting there doing my thing.
Uh-huh.
And so he gave, I'm sorry. And I could tell he was very embarrassed. I also started to wonder, I'm sitting there, does he see anything?
He desperately wants to see my penis.
Front or back view?
No, side view. So I think there's a really good chance he saw something.
Yeah.
And I started thinking to myself, you know what? If I'm not embarrassed, then he shouldn't be embarrassed.
Right, who cares? Right?
So I went out there after and I was unsure.
Uh-huh. And did you ask him? I didn't ask him.
I said, I made a joke. I said, you know what? Next time I go to the bathroom, I'm going to lock the door. And he gave me an awkward laugh. I think he saw something. But the reason why it's not that embarrassing is not that I walk around a men's locker room naked. I don't.
Right.
But guys do that all the time.
Right. I spent my life that way.
Right.
High school to college, NFL.
I think, and I tell me if this is sexist. I apologize if it is. I think if my mother-in-law walked in on me, I'd be much more embarrassed. I think it'd be bigger, a weirder thing.
Nah, you're right.
But fact that it's my father-in-law, it's okay, if he saw it, he saw it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a 3.5-inch guy.
Embarrassing for her or for you?
I think for all of us.
Yeah.
I don't think our relationship would ever be the same again.
Yeah, I think you're right.
No, it's true.
I think that one is bad.
Right, that is bad.
But the more I think about it, it's whatever. If you walked in on me while I was, I don't even think I'd care. Yeah. I just feel that's me.
I mean, I wouldn't because I grew up that way. In fact, I remember it was probably my third year in college, the first time there was a female in the locker room.
Right.
It was oh my God, what are we doing?
Well, did that change how you felt? Did you feel more likely to cover up?
Well, yeah, but because it was shocking.
Right.
But then 3 years later, it's whatever. I'm serious. It just becomes whatever.
And here's maybe the hypocrisy of this. When I go to the gym, and believe it or not, sometimes I do, I don't want to be naked. I never walk around naked. When I take a shower, I make sure like I change inside the shower. Mm. So I don't want to be naked. But if somehow like something slipped out, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
Right.
That's kind of the attitude I have with this. And that's the way I felt about my father-in-law. Like, yeah, I didn't mean to just be naked.
Right.
But if he saw it, it's like, all right, whatever. Yeah.
I went in my pants during the pandemic.
What?
You did what?
You wet your pants. Went in my pants. I was recording a podcast down, you know, had the whole home equipment. The only person at my house was my mother-in-law watching my young child. And I had to be butt naked in need of a bath, and she had to go fetch me a towel and clothes and throw everything at me.
So your mother-in-law saw you naked?
Yeah, and our relationship has never been the same.
So I'm right that it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, wow. But like last week I saw my brother-in-law sitting on the bowl, white cheeks, but... To me, we laughed it off. My mother-in-law, we can't look at each other in the eyes to this day.
Also, though, like they said on Seinfeld, hold on, there's...
You're bearing a story here. The lead. You wet yourself?
Went in my pants.
You went in your pants?
Yes. Sometimes when I have Robitussin, Tiki, it was a pandemic, things run through me. And I was mid-taping a podcast for Odyssey, and I couldn't hold it anymore, and DA was just going on and on and on and on and on.
Is that the one that made news? Because I think you actually made national news for going in.
That was the seventh time I went in my pants, but I did that one live in the studio.
Jeez. I gotcha. So that's kind of your thing.
Can't you just get up and leave?
If I had to really go,
I'd be like, Evan, see you, man. I'll be back.
No, the one that happened here was an accident where I laughed too hard and too many muscles worked. That one was like I was trying to get DA to stop talking. He wouldn't stop talking. And then, you know, an egg cracked.
But you clearly have a problem if this has happened multiple times.
Yes.
Yeah.
You should see a doctor about that.
I have.
And?
I have. No problem. I just, I think I just admit it more than others.
Have you? Well, no, listen, I would admit it if it happened. I honestly haven't gone in my pants since I was an infant. Since I was learning how to go.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe me?
I think a lot
you
of...
You think there was a moment where I ever went in my... Why? I'm an adult. If I have to go, I go to the bathroom.
Everybody has thrown the blinker on and made a right towards their neighborhood, and their body reacts in a way going, oh, yeah, pal, we know you're almost home. And
not going to make it.
Sometimes people don't make it.
But you know what's crazy? Like, I've had to go to the restroom in emergency fashions quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's never gotten to the point where it just comes out like that.
Yeah, number one, it's gotten close. But I'll just stop my car and just go to on the side of the road.
No, you got to. You have to.
So you go home with one sock?
No. What do you mean one sock?
Well, you got to use something to clean
up. You got to clean up.
Yeah. Clean up?
They're talking about two. You're talking about one.
I'm talking about one.
Yeah. Oh, who cares about one? Everybody goes on the side of the road with one.
Right. One's very common.
One you can hold.
I drink so much water, but sometimes you can't. Like, there's points where you just can't.
No, he's right. But that, and I guess that's where I would never gone in my pants, because if I have to go that badly, I will pull over. Sometimes I've gone in like a water bottle, because just where you stop, like, there's no privacy.
Right.
Like, sometimes you're just stuck in that spot.
I've done that too, but my windows are tinted, so you can't see in my car.
Yeah.
So I don't worry about it.
Yeah, I worry. In fact, this happened to me about like 3-4 weeks ago, where it was so bad. And this is why, like, of course I wouldn't go in my pants. I pulled over, I think it was on the hutch, and I pulled over on the shoulder, and I'm like, you know what? All these cars are going so fast. Like, who's going to stop and see me doing this? So I just took the water bottle out, and sometimes it's tough to kind of like, you know, it kind of
wide mouth gatorade. You got to aim really close, like really accurately.
Yeah, it takes a lot of accuracy practice.
But you guys are acting like that there would just be a bathroom anywhere. Sometimes it's a race against time. You don't have time to find a place to go, so you just either, like Sean, who's an animal, you go in your pants, or you find a place in the woods or something.
Yeah, but that's what we just said.
Someone's backyard.
Yeah, but that's what we just said.
Number one. He's talking number two.
Well, that's what I'm talking.
I'm just regular. I'm very regular because I eat correctly, so I'm regular. So I know when I'm going to go. It's literally almost the same time every day.
But you know what, Teak? Like, I'm similar.
And I'm not even joking.
The stock market?
I'm similar to you as well on timing, but in the rare occasions where, okay, it is two and I got to go, it's never been bad enough where I can't control it. I'll always eventually, even if it takes a while, find a place to go. I'm telling you, I haven't gone in my pants since I was two. I can ask my mom the exact moment, but, like, since I was toilet trained, I have not made that mistake. So I think that says something about you, bro.
All right, well, I'm going to paint the scenario, Evan. You've also never seen your team win a championship. I've seen, what, eight now? Seven of them?
Yeah. How is that?
Would you rather have, like me, by 37, gone in your pants at least seven times that I can remember as an adult,
but have seven championships, you remember, or no championships and no times
That's
in your
pants? That's such a stupid question.
Well, who would you rather be, me
seven
or you?
Championships.
So you go in your pants seven times. So oh, yeah. I'm thankful for what I
if
have.
If you told
life.
Me right now Aaron Rodgers lead me to the promised land, I'll go in my pants every day when I go home. Like before I get in.
Tiki, call Nate.
Call Nate. Mets win the World Series every day. I don't care. I mean, I'll clean up, but it's never been forced upon me. All right, real quick, tell me if there's a controversy.
Go ahead.
Chris Kirschner of The Athletic took a little video from last night during the Yankee game. It's very early in the Yankee game, so it's before it got out of hand. Two pitchers on the New York Yankees, I'm going to say their names, Marcus Stroman and Clark Schmidt.
Okay.
We're sitting together eating popcorn in the dugout. Is that a concern?
No.
A little not taking this thing too seriously kind of thing?
No, not at all.
Okay.
They were just hungry.
Okay.
And popcorn looks bad because it looks like you're just a spectator, but it's probably all that was available.
Okay.
And you didn't want to go with the sunflower seeds or what else do they have
there? Yeah, sunflower seeds nobody would care about. Right. It's the popcorn that's the issue.
But it's basically the same thing.
What if it was a hot dog?
Yeah, maybe. If it's a hot dog, just go in the clubhouse.
You know why I bring up the hot dog?
Why?
It's very personal to me. Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Mark Sanchez hot dog controversy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Jets had, I think they were going to win. They beat the Raiders, so the Jets were going to win. The game was in the bag, and Mark Sanchez sat on the bench eating a hot dog, and he was widely criticized by everybody. And I never understood it. I was like, dude just did his thing, and now he's eating a hot dog. I would have a bigger issue with guys early in a game spectating like that eating than I would a guy who just accomplished. It's almost like he's smoking a cigar after a victory.
Yeah.
By eating a hot dog after a victory.
But watching it right now.
And that was a huge controversy around here.
It was the throwback uniforms.
Yep.
He's trying to hold it between his legs so nobody can see it.
Oh my God.
And he just eating a hot dog.
I love Mark. That was so awkward.
I used to eat hot dogs at halftime.
Oh, did you? But nobody saw you.
Nobody saw it because it was in the locker room.
Well, in the locker room doesn't count.
The question is why is he so famished that he needs to eat it right
now? Well, he just played a 3-hour football game. He's hungry.
Unless he has like a blood sugar issue, like he's got diabetes and he just needed to eat. I don't know.
God.
I don't think that's the case, but you never know.
All right. Well, I defended Mark at that time.
Good.
And so.
Good.
Good. Well, that's why I'm asking about Stroman and Clark Schmidt. You say no issue.
Yeah, that wasn't even the biggest food controversy yesterday.
What was the other food controversy?
I can't believe you haven't brought it to the table.
What's that?
Francisco Lindor's kids all sitting there eating out of Yankee ice cream helmets last night.
I have no problem with that. I already told you I ate out of Yankee ice cream.
I know, but that was your big defense. Look, a Met player is letting his family eat out of
it. I didn't notice that she was eating out of a... Oh, you know what? I do remember now David Cohen and Eduardo Perez saying, hey, you got to eat the ice cream out of a helmet, and the only helmet you're eating out of is a Yankee helmet.
Yeah. Wow. I thought for sure you were coming with that. Here's my defense.
You know what? I didn't put two and two together because I remember hearing them say that, and then I didn't think for a second, oh, wow, that was Lindor's daughter.
Yeah.
Eating out of a Yankee helmet. So help me out here, Sean. What am I supposed to say? Like, I'm good with it because I ate out of a Yankee helmet.
And how old is she? 9?
But the point was, see, Tommy, that's a Met player letting his own kids eating out of an ice cream
helmet. Okay, hold on. Let me try this. Yesterday on the show.
Right. Tommy was giving you crap for this.
Let me reset this for everybody. We'll go back into the argument.
Now it makes sense to me.
So I ate ice cream at Yankee Stadium because I love Mr. Softy, and I was eating the ice cream out of a Yankee helmet. I didn't keep the helmet. I threw it down. I was done with it. Tommy gave me issues. So watch this. Hey, Tommy, guess what?
What?
Francisco Lindor's beautiful daughter.
Your MVP, by the way.
The MVP. Get used to it.
Positive Tommy, the first one on that.
His daughter was eating ice cream out of a Yankee helmet. What say you?
I have no issue with that. She's a child. You're a grown man, dummy, and you're supposed to be Mr. Met, my Mets Bible, Rico Bronya, and your loyalty to Mr. Softy is over the Mets.
All right, so Sean, now what? I did the line. It didn't work.
If the guy you're claiming is MVP, Tommy, thinks his kids can eat out of a Yankee helmet, so can I, the writer of My Mets Bible.
How do you know Francisco bought it for him? He's playing. It might have been his wife that got it.
Francisco could have taken the helmet away and said, hey, hon, this is unacceptable. Okay, we are New York Mets. He did not do that. In fact, he was just a loving father. So what do you say now, nanny-nanny boo-boo?
I think Francisco was so excited after hitting his second home run in front of, there was probably 9 Yankee fans left at that point that he probably didn't even notice or care. No issue.
He said, go ahead, honey, eat that. We own this joint.
That's right. That's why I was eating the ice cream, because I own that joint. I knew going in, I'm going to eat the ice cream, and then I'm going to get 2 victories.
Well, the people spoke, because I put it out online, and you lost by a landslide, Evan, on
this
one.
That's not actually true. I checked the mentions on that picture just to analyze like what people said. And what I got a lot of heat for
is that they misunderstood the question.
No, it had nothing to do with the ice cream. People didn't really care about the ice cream thing. More people were upset or mocking me of my outfit.
It was a travesty.
There was a lot of, you know, that hat doesn't fit the jersey. There was a lot of, you're wearing a jersey over a collared shirt. That was really the most popular thing. In fact, ice cream was barely mentioned. So, yes, I got ridiculed. I own that, and I have no problem with that. But it was mostly for my wardrobe selections. Mm. It was not for the helmet ice cream. So, just want to get the facts in there. And now we can move on with our day, and everybody's happy.
Thanks for derailing us, Sean.
Yeah. Me? All of you guys.
Evan's father-in-law saw his butt cheeks. That's what started this.
Yeah, when you crapped in your pants.
So, yeah, he does that. You don't lock the door. You live with people. You live with your in-laws. Lock the door. The two of you are like children. It's amazing.
Real quick, before we get back railed onto taking your sports phone calls, I will explain why I don't lock the door. Can I do that?
Go ahead.
So my youngest son, Spence, loves, he's walking, he's having a good time around the house. He loves to come into the bathroom while dad's doing that. And then we have a nice conversation, and I teach him this is how you do it. So I don't lock the door just so that if Spence-alicious, which I call him sometimes, if Spence wants to run in, I leave the door open. He's three. He doesn't know how to open the door. Plus, it's locked. He gets confused. So I keep the door unlocked for Spence.
Got it. But you're going to confuse those that want to go to the bathroom and don't think anybody's in there because the door's unlocked.
Oh, I know. No, I understand. Let's go to Dave in Maplewood, New Jersey. How are you, Dave?
What's up, Dave?
Oh, great, guys. Well, thanks for that last conversation, because I'm getting all frustrated waiting, worked up about the Yankees, and you just entertained me for the last 10 minutes or so.
There you go. Thanks.
But, Ateek, I don't know if you guys have logs or anything, but I feel like I call in once a year around this time, frustrated with the Yankees, because it's the same story.
Right.
And you got to put it on Cashman. The players are just not good enough. I mean, they always have some great players. The team's not good enough. Every year, he's picking up guys off the scrap heap, like J.D. Davis, Willie Calhoun, you know. All guys, you can't even list all the guys because they're nobody.
Well, the challenge, Dave, is that the team is good at the margin. So they're good as long as everything is right. And as soon as things start to go, not even significantly arise, not like Aaron Judge is unavailable for a month or Juan Soto has a torn ligament in his wrist or whatever the heck it could be, it's just on the edge. Like those guys that you need, and if they're not there, everything falls apart. So it's like the foundation isn't strong enough. Like maybe some of the stained glass windows are amazing, but the foundation isn't strong.
Yeah, their depth got exposed ultimately. I thought coming into this season, my prediction on the Yankees, and I thought it really for months and months until recently, was this was a 100-win team. But why I've been wrong so far is I've been dead wrong about DJ LeMahieu.
Right.
Why I've been wrong is Giancarlo Stanton getting hurt helped derail this lineup. Why I've been wrong is I thought Jason Dominguez would start to make a big impact at June. It hasn't happened. Why I was wrong was Gleyber Torres wasn't going to have a terrible year in a contract year. Why I was wrong is because I thought Anthony Volpe was going to take a major step. It looked like he was.
Yep.
He has slowed down over the last 2 months. But I think all of these things have been exposed because they are not a deep team. Now, the good news is there's time for that to change.
Of course.
The one thing I completely disagree with the Yankee fan who says, we stink, it's over, it's done, there's nothing they can do, is there is something they can do. Now, a part of that are guys playing better, but a big part of that is making the right keen trades before July 30th. We are 5 days away. And we're going to be here. We're going to be on the air during the trade deadline. Can't wait. Right through 6 o'clock. And we will give you our opinions as it's happening. Is this enough? Is this going to make a difference? But what starts before that is tomorrow night against the Red Sox.
Yep.
They've got 3 games against a team that's also not playing great and a team that's not that far away from you. So let's see the Yankees, who have been so bad for so long, really over the last month and a half, let's see if they can start to change that.
And again, I don't see that happening consistently and convincingly until they get healthy. And if that doesn't happen, it's going to be much of the same. And that's not fun for any Yankee fan.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.